Just before we start tonight, I'd like to take this opportunity of wishing you all a very happy new year. And 2017 was a rather challenging and difficult year for many of us, but we look forward to blessed times in this new year, and we trust that you and your family may know the blessing of the Lord. I want to read tonight from 2 Chronicles chapter 29. It's a rather lengthy reading, but I want you to watch carefully as we read down this chapter of God's Word, and then we will have a look at what it has to say. And while we're looking it up, I'd just like to say how good it is to see Joan here tonight, and to hear Joan tonight, because we're praying that the Lord will give her our voice back, and she has it back, and that's good. The Lord has answered prayer in a wonderful way. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, and that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose, Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehalalel, and of the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimmah, and Eden the son of Joah, and of the sons of Elisaphan, Shimri, Jael, and the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mathaniah, and of the sons of Heman, Jehiel and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren, and sanctified themselves, and came according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord and into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar of burnt offering, with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table, with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, All the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord, and they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering and for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. And so they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them and made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer, Nathan the prophet. And so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also, with trumpets and with instruments ordained by David the king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued till the burnt offering was finished. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee tonight, and we thank thee, O God, for the beginning of a new year. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us safely to it and given us a degree of health and strength to enjoy it. And Father, we pray that as we go into the new year, that we'll leave the baggage of the past behind us, and may we press forward towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So be with us now, we pray. Open to us the scriptures, bless our hearts from it, challenge us, and may we, as has been mentioned already today, rededicate ourselves to the service of Christ the King. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have already given you the blessing of a Happy New Year, and we have before us in this story that we're reading together the name of Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah has gone down in history as the greatest king of the province of Judah, and he was a great leader, and under him, Judah returned to the Lord and prospered. He made a personal commitment to the Lord, and the Bible says of him that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So Hezekiah was a faithful man. He was an upright follower of the Lord, and he served the Lord, as it says in a later chapter, with all his heart. And then the Bible bears a tremendous testimony of Hezekiah in chapter 18 of 2 Kings, and in verse 5, it says of Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. What a testimony God gave of this servant. I wonder if the Lord was to sit down and write one verse of scripture about you and me, what would he be able to say? Would it be as good as this? I would doubt very much. But he trusted in the Lord God, and there's none like him before or after. So he was a great and a good and a godly man. Now, he commenced his reign as the king of Judah at 25 years of age. Earlier, his heart was stirred with righteous indignation because he watched the province and the nation decline, and he watched the backslide, and he watched the idolatrous excesses. And the sad thing for Hezekiah was that it was his father that was responsible for most of this decline, because in the previous chapter, chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, you read there in verses 2 to 3 that Ahaz, his father, walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abomination of the heathen before the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So Ahaz was a wicked man, even the extent of causing his children to go through the fire and see them killed as a sacrifice. How awful was this man. Then in verse 19 of chapter 28, it tells us, "For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord." And then again in verse number 24, "Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem." This man was a wicked, wicked man. But unfortunately, Hezekiah couldn't do very much about it at that time while his father was alive. But once his father died and he became the king, there's going to be a great change. And the reason I turn to this portion is because it tells us there in the first day of the first month, there was a tremendous change for Judah. So this was Hezekiah's new year, if you like. And for us, we have just entered into a new year, and we can learn from the godly example of King Hezekiah. Now, the first thing we look at is his priority, because there were many problems faced the young king as he came to the throne. Judah was a bit of a mess. There were political problems, there were social problems, there were military problems, and there were internal problems within the people. The people were unhappy. You see, the Bible tells us when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And so during the reign of Ahaz, the people of Judah, they mourn. And so he had a very unhappy people. And then, of course, as well as that, you can add to that the external enemies that were always threatening the people of God with defeat in the battle. And so he had many, many problems to face. And you can see too from the scripture in verse 9, verse 8 of our chapter, "Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem." So because of the sin of Ahaz, now comes the wrath of God upon the place. Now Hezekiah, when he became king, his first priority was to get right with God and to get the people back to worshiping the Lord. The temple worship had been stopped, and he was going to open the doors that were closed by his father, because in those days the people could not approach the Lord. They couldn't come and worship in the temple because the place was closed and the doors were locked shut. And worse than that, it tells us there in the scriptures that they had their backs turned to the Lord. Verse number 6, "They have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs." So he inherited a very bad situation, but his first priority was to get the country back to God and the people back to God, and with the help of God, he would then begin to deal with the other problems that faced him as the king of Judah. And as we start a new year, our priority also should be to make sure that we get back to the Lord ourselves, because followers of the Lord Jesus are called disciples, and the disciple is merely a disciplined one. And one of the difficult things of Christianity is to become a disciplined servant of the Lord. it's so easy to become careless. It's so easy to get away from the Lord. And so at the start of a year, it's a good time for stock taking and to look at how we can lead ourselves back to the Lord. Now, the picture he gives here, the scripture gives us, is that of the temple. The temple was sitting in neglect. He is dealing with the real temple of Jerusalem, but there's also a picture for you and me, because the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. And so that is an encouragement to us, and it's also an alert. You see, we are rather like a store that has fallen on hard times, not doing so well, service not so good, and then the owner sells out to somebody else. And the new management comes in, like our Hortons down here has been taken over by a new owner, and they have refurbished the whole place. I'm not saying it's for the better, but they have refurbished the whole place. You see, it's under new management. And we used to be under the management of the wicked one. And he has not been happy that we have left him, and he's going to give us a hard time and try and get us back to him. But we need to remember that we are under new management. As the Bible says, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Lord has taken over, and so we have a blessed new manager. Now, at this time of the year, it's a good thing to ask ourselves, Lord, what is the state of my heart? My own heart, not somebody beside you, but your own heart, my heart. And is everything fine? Is life sweet and service blessed? Or have the doors of communication, like the doors of a temple, become shut and the hinges rusted, and therefore our prayer hindered? The most difficult thing for a child of God, as we've said many, many times, and others have said as well, and that is the ministry of prayer. You remember in the case of Paul, behold, he prayeth. That's the sign of the believer. You're in communication with heaven. You're talking to the Lord. And so that's what the Lord wants us to do, to communicate with him. Now we can do our Bible reading. That's not that difficult to discipline yourself to read according to our Bible reading calendar and so on. Not too difficult. But when it comes to prayer, the devil does not want you to pray. And the reason is that the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. And if the devil can stop us from praying, then he has won a signal victory indeed. So we have to ask ourselves, what's my prayer life like? Is it good? Is it productive? Are we seeing answers to our prayers? And then we have to ask also about the accumulation of dust and dirt of depravity. Now, every year, just before Christmas, I give myself a job. It's not a very pleasant job. And that is, in my study, I take a week to tidy it up. Because over the year, books get misplaced, papers are in the wrong place, filed in the wrong place, and so on. And I start to work at it. And it's a work that has to be done. Now, you get the stuff as best you can into proper order. But one of the things is dust. Now, I look up and I didn't see any dust before I started, but once I get up, boy, I never saw the dust in that, and you wipe the dust off, because dust comes imperceptibly upon the place. And it's the same with the dust of depravity. It can sneak up on us so quietly, and we don't notice it. And so it's only at a time like this that we stop and have a good look and realize, yes, there is the dust of depravity there that has come in imperceptibly. Now, in the temple in those days when the doors were shut inside, they would have stagnant air. It wouldn't be a very nice place to be in with the doors all shut tight and no fresh air getting in. And the problem is with believers, when our prayer life begins to suffer, then we get a little stagnant and we stagnate. And that's not good. So we need to acknowledge that that part of our temple worship needs to be improved. And so we can become careless and we can become neglectful. So what do we do? Well, in the case of Hezekiah, he said, I'm going to do something about this. We cannot continue with the temple shut, and we've got to open it up, we've got to get it cleaned out, and recommence the worship services. So the procedure was, first of all, to open the door. In the verse number 3, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. That was the first thing. You see, God promised to meet with Israel at the mercy seat. And God promises to meet with his people today at the mercy seat. And we need to make sure that the doors of communication between us and God are opened. And if the hinges are a little bit rusty, we need to get them cleaned and get some oil to them so we can openly and freely talk with the Lord about the things that we have need. And so we need to examine ourselves about the place of prayer, as it sometimes is neglected. In every church there are people that we call prayer warriors that are always there in the place of prayer. But some believers, somehow they don't seem to feel it necessary to come to the prayer meeting. I can't understand that, because I feel that the prayer meeting is the powerhouse of the Church of Jesus Christ, and we need to meet together, not just individually, but collectively, to join our prayers together. So ask yourself where you stand with regard to the prayer meeting, and also personal prayer as well. Because when we meet together in the prayer meeting, what do? You encourage the pastor. You encourage one another, because we're all together, pulling together our resources, pulling together our various needs, and we pray unto God, and then we rejoice when God answers. What a blessing it was to see Joan this morning, and for her to speak to me, because last time I saw her, she wasn't talking. Now, it wasn't because she had any difficulty in talking to us, other than a health issue, but God answered prayer. And I have a list at home of people that I pray for every day. And I told Joan, you're off the list. It's good to be able to write them off the list, because God has answered prayer. So we need to discipline ourselves in the place of prayer. And if possible, be at the prayer meetings when they are held, either before the service or in the midweek prayer meeting. We need to discipline ourselves. And I know that not everybody can come, because you have family situations and children to look after. But if the husband can come one week and the wife another week, that's a blessing. And what happens is that we just gradually get careless and we stop coming, and then you miss one Wednesday night, then the next one's easier to miss, and so on. We need to ask ourselves, Lord, help me to get back as a warrior in prayer and lay hold upon God. The other thing was that not only did they open the door, but they purified the temple, and they did a thorough job, because in verse 16, the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And so now they get into the inner work. And the Bible tells us in Psalm number 51, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Now, we can have an external look that people see when we come to church, and they can say, oh, what a nice person, oh, what a godly person, but only you and me know exactly what's inside. And the Lord wants us to deal with that which is inside, and to deal with the problems. Now, it's a wonderful thing that when you do as I was doing there, cleaning out my study, it's an onerous job, getting things organized and into some sort of disciplined area. But there's a good thing about it, and that is, once you start that, you find something, boy, I had forgotten that. And so instead of continuing the work, you sit down, you start to read and look at whatever it is you've found. You find gems. And what it must have been for those Levites going into the temple to find this and that and things that they had all forgotten about. And when we start to do that, my, what a blessing it is when you realize that there are great things that the Lord has given to us. Also, that they had to get the deal with the idols because Ahaz had brought in all kinds of idols. Now, none of us here, I'm sure, make idols that we have in our house and we sit down and look at them and we bow to them and pray to them. We don't do that. But an idol today is anything that takes the place of the Lord, takes first place in our lives. And we have to ask ourselves, Lord, what is the dearest idol that I have in my life? And so we have to deal with that. And that is not very easy sometimes, but it has to be dealt with. And it could be something legitimate, because sometimes legitimate things like work or business or whatever, or family things, they are legitimate things, but sometimes they can take the place of the Lord. So we have to make sure that it's the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Remember again the hymn, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me, Lord, to tear it from the throne and worship only thee. And again, you have the catechism question, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And we're told that the great commandment is to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, and mind. So we have to do an inner cleaning job and say, Lord, cleanse me within. Read Psalm 51, read it carefully and prayerfully, and you'll find that the Lord will bless you from it. And what we have to watch too is that we come into a new year. I mentioned this already. Let's make sure we do not carry the baggage of 2017 into 2018. Let that baggage be there. It's gone. Let it stay there. And let us have a fresh start and look forward to the blessing of the Lord in the year to come. And remember, the king's command was to the people in verse 5, sanctify now yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. So what we're talking about here is that we come to a disciplined place. Lord, make me truly a disciple of the Lord, who is disciplined to read the word, who is disciplined to pray, who is disciplined not to allow the accretion of the dust and the dirt of a human depravity to take its place. So he called them to a new thing in the first day of the first month. Some people make New Year's resolutions. I have to say that I can't remember ever making a New Year resolution. But for those who do, that's a good thing. If it helps you focus on improving some area of your life, that's good. But remember that what we need is not so much an external resolution as an internal revolution by the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember too the place that in verse number 19, moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, where are they? Before the altar of the Lord. And so what do? In application in our day, we come back to the cross. That's where we start. And all that we are and all that we ever hope to be as believers is wrapped up in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And that's why it's a good thing to do as we are doing, and that is to read through the Bible every year. And last week and the week before, there were some Bible reading calendars given out. It is a good thing to do those. But I want to emphasize something especially, and that is to emphasize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because if you want to know the Lord and you want to see the Lord, that's where you find him, in the stories of the Gospels. And so we need to, as believers, take time to meditate on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and pray, Lord, show me Christ as he was in these chapters. And Lord, draw me closer, draw me near the cross. There a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. So it's good to start off the year with a desire. I want to know more about the Lord. And we pray sometimes, as Paul did, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, sometimes believers go through sufferings and they wonder, why is this happening to me? Why should I have to suffer this? When the whole time the Lord is answering the prayer that you have had. And that prayer is, Lord, help me to know the fellowship of his sufferings. So when we go through sufferings, then our eyes are turned, or should be turned, to the Lord Jesus and see the suffering that he went through on our behalf. And our sufferings are nothing compared to the suffering of our blessed Lord. And so we need to take time in the Gospels to read about the Lord, to learn more about him, and to pray, Lord, make Calvary real to me. Because it's so easy to look at things as a superstition. But it's not a superstition. The death of Christ is real, and we need to take time to open our eyes and behold what it cost him, the Holy One, to bear away our sins. One final thing, and that is the praise that followed this work of Hezekiah on the new year of his ministry as king. And the first thing to notice is the urgency, because in verse number 20 of our chapter, it says, "Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord." Now, what does that tell us? That tells us, as we start a new year, let there be no delay. Each one of us individually and collectively getting before the Lord and praying, Lord, make me to be the man, the woman, the young person that you want me to be. And Lord, draw us all closer to thyself. Let there be no delay. I was telling the Bible class this morning, wishing them a happy new year, and also starting a study on the Beatitudes, and we invite you to come along at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning for that study. But I was telling them the true happiness is not found in possessions. The children at Christmas time were given all kinds of toys and so on, and they're all excited. But today, now, but a couple of weeks after Christmas, those toys are probably left aside and never be looked at again for maybe a long time. So that's the way children are, and we are just the same, because happiness is not found in possessions. Because you look at some of the people who have the most and who are billionaires and so on, loads of money and things, and yet you look at their faces and their faces show that they are far from happy, because external things do not satisfy the soul. The only thing that can satisfy the soul is our blessed Lord and Savior. The world can give us temporary gratification for a short while, but then we're looking for something else to excite us. But only the Lord can fill the need of the heart and soul of men and women. And so, in this case here, Hezekiah, he dedicated himself. Verse 31, "Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart burnt offerings." Now that expression, free heart, is a willing heart. So as many as had a willing heart, they brought sacrifice unto the Lord. And has been said, if Jesus Christ be God, and he died on the cross for my sin, then no sacrifice that I make for him is ever too much. May God help us to start this year by dedicating ourselves afresh to Him and sacrificing ourselves to the service of our blessed Lord. There's also a wonderful statement at the end of chapter 31 regarding Hezekiah. And in every work, that's verse 21 of chapter 31, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. He prospered spiritually, he prospered materially, because he gave himself entirely to the Lord. May that be written over every one of us, that whatever we do for the work of the Lord, we will do it with all our hearts, and we know we'll have the prosperity of the Lord. And when these people, when they did clean out the temple and restart the worship services and the sacrifices and so on, the Lord wonderfully blessed them, because it tells us down there in verse 27 of our chapter, Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar, and notice, when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began, also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by King David. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters, they sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. What does that tell us? Back to the cross. And once you get to the cross, then the song of the Lord begins. You cannot build up and make yourself sing and sound good. There are people who are great singers. You probably heard some of them who went to the Messiah. But you wonder, the people who are singing, do they know the Lord? And they can sing, they're good singers. But the song of the Lord doesn't start until we get to the cross. We get to the place of the burnt offering. And so may God help us, each one today, to say, Lord, at the beginning of this year, we thank thee for the blessings of this past year. Help us, Lord, not to bring into the new year those things that were not good. And Lord, help us, we pray, to rededicate ourselves to the service of Christ the King. And grant, O God, that soon the song of the Lord will begin, that revival will break out, and our hearts were filled, as their hearts were filled, with thanksgiving unto God. The blessed end is to verse 35 of our chapter, and also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. The chapter begins disorder and ends in order. And we perhaps are somewhat disordered by carelessness in our lives. Let us, Lord, direct ourselves to the service of Christ and get things in order, that we will be truly disciplined Christians and disciples of our blessed Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for men like thy servant Hezekiah. And we thank the Lord for the testimony that thou hast borne of him, that there was none like him before or after. Our Father, we pray that thou would help us, each one individually, to be the very best we can be for the Lord. O God, help us, we pray, to be disciplined Christians, and grant, O God, that where there is a need, that thou would help us to overcome it. And where the devil would come and test us, O God, thou hast told us about the sin that doth so easily beset us. And the devil knows that. And we know where our sin is. Our Father, we pray that thou would cleanse that sin away, give us victory over it, defeat the devil. And Father, we pray this year that we will see the house of the Lord set in order, our souls set in order, and grant our God will see the great things done. Lord, we cannot do it ourselves. We need thee to help us, and we thank thee, O God, for that promise in thy word, I will help thee. Part us now in thy fear with thy blessing. Take us home rejoicing in the Lord, and singing praise unto him. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.